band starts up. Brother Mark Boyd broke his iPhone today. So he's got to get it fixed. But if anybody's got a phone that takes a chip that he could borrow until he gets his back, it would really help him out. So if you've got a phone that he could borrow like that, we'll let him know. SIM card. Takes a SIM card. Brother Mark, Brother Andrew's got one for you, so see him after service. Thank you.
Without Jesus, where would I be? Jesus, he's my Savior, don't you know? That man from Galilee, yes, he will set your spirit free. He will fill, he'll fill your cup up to the brim. Oh, that's him. Oh, yes, that's him. Oh, that's my Jesus. Yes, he's my Savior, don't you know? That man from Galilee, yes, he will set your spirit free. He will fill, he'll fill your cup up to the brim. Oh, that's him. Oh, yes, that's him. Oh, that's my Jesus. Yes, he's my Savior, don't you know? Oh, that man from Galilee, he will set your spirit free. And he will fill, he'll fill your cup up to the brim. Oh, that's him. Oh, yes, that's him. Jesus, he's my Savior, don't you know? Oh, that man from Galilee, he will set your spirit free, and he will fill, he'll fill your cup up to the brim. Oh, that's him. Oh, yes, that's him. Oh, that's my Jesus, he's my Savior, don't you know? Oh, that man from Galilee, he will set your spirit free, and he will fill. He'll fill your cup up to the brim. Oh, that's him. Oh, yes, that's him. Oh, yes, that's my Jesus. He's my Savior, don't you know? That man from Galilee, he will set your spirit free, and he will fill. He'll fill your cup up to the brim. Oh, that's him. Oh, yes, that's my Jesus. He's my Savior, don't you know? That man from Galilee, he will set your spirit free, and he will fill. Yes, he'll fill your cup up to the brim. Oh, that's him. Oh, that's my Jesus. He's my Savior, don't you know?
right, Brother Andrew, go ahead and open the service for us.
With being in the body of Christ, it's hard not to think about with all the excitement that's been going on in our assembly lately, and just in the body in general, not to start feeling a passion about something, especially with what was going over through my mind and what has been just recently about winning people. And Brother Tyrone and I really got into a deep conversation because he's in a lot of sales, and I've had a lot of sales experience we can relate to. You're only as good making the final sale and closing the sale as what you expect the sale, the end results to be. And the only people that are successful are the people that have the mindset that they are going to be successful. Brittany and I were reading a book about of Dave Ramsey that was talking about financial peace. And he was saying that the only way to reach that peace is if you're in debt and you're constantly poor and you have little, it's because a lot of times it can be financial reasons. Everybody has their own reasoning, but the reason that you're constantly poor is because you're in a mindset of that you are poor and that you'll never be rich and you'll never have wealth and you can never attain that. But in the body, in serving God, I've discovered that if you have that mindset that you are going to grow and that you will learn more when the opportunity comes, that when Brother Smith or Brother Durham or when Brother Talley gets up to preach a message, that there's that little nugget in there that we're anticipating. We're waiting to receive something that's going to take us on to a higher place. And I just wanted to get up and express how thankful I am that we have that opportunity to, in the Holy Ghost, that we can be anticipating, we can be on fire. And I was thinking about how that relates to winning people. If I go expecting, well, I'm going to go see if how this is exactly going to work out. I'm not really sure, you know, we'll see how God does it. Well, I expect that God's going to, I want to have the mindset for myself that when I go out to witness to people, whether it be door to door or at work or just somebody that I run across to while I'm at Olive Garden or whoever it may be, I have that anticipation that somebody, somewhere along my lines today, God's going to lead me to somebody to open up a door, and I'm going to have the courage to step out of my comfort zone and be able to talk to that person just about random things. It could be on what color tie they're wearing, or you know, the way that they're doing something or whatever it may be. But I want to have that open-mindedness to be able to reach out to people and be able to relate to them, like Brother Smith was saying this morning, be able to have a window in my life to where I can come out and reach out to people. But I was just thinking along those lines, and y'all can pray about that. I'm not saying that that's the way it needs to be for everybody. But I know I want to. I see that about just the way that God sets things in order, the way He works. That's just something that works in the world. I mean, and that works in the church. So if I want to, I know I want to be able to set that expectation for my own life, and step up to a higher calling. And like Brother Joel said, I don't want to make New Year's resolutions, but I want to make resolutions for my life daily. And but I just really feel the Lord here tonight, and I really want to open it up to everybody, not just the youth, but if you have something in your heart, please get up and share it with us. I know it's encouraging to me. I was telling to the youth last night. I said, you know, I feel like I kind of joke about it with my wife that when you get married, it adds about 45 years to your life. At least it feels that way anyway. Because you get these different responsibilities and things that you just have to grow up so fast. And when you're working, and then all of a sudden you come to church Wednesday night, or you have to come to a watch night service on a Thursday night. You get to spend all day working, and you're like, man, I'm so tired. I just barely have the energy just to get up and put my church clothes on and come to church, let alone get out and worship and get in the Spirit. And I bet all of y'all here, I know including me, that if you ever got just soaked in the Holy Ghost, that you can just barely stand. You know, you just get so tired. To add on top of that, then you have to go to work tomorrow. So it's really kind of, it can be downing. Life can be a drag. But, like what if Brother Zach, if we put a smile on our face and just gird our minds up, just hearing from the youth, because they're so full of energy. I was outside, and I was like, okay, Tyrone, where do you want to go for lunch or whatever? And I look over at Ariel. She's like bouncing off the walls. And I was like, well, how did you get all that energy? So I know that they've got all this energy. And we can draw from that. I know me personally, I'm not, you guys think I'm just this young kid or whatever, but I'm really not. At least I don't feel that way sometimes. And but you can, the life can drag you down, and pulling on that fire that they have. And I know sometimes we're down deep inside. I know I have that fire, but it takes a lot more than it used to get that fire going. And I was about burning leaves, and I wouldn't recommend that to anybody trying to burn leaves. It's not the easy task in the world. But it took me forever to build this little bitty fire. It took me forever. And I was like, well, I could pour gas on it. That's the easy. I know that works. And, well, I could do this. And I go in my house, this house that I'm moving into, and all I have is a piece of toilet paper. So I take this piece of toilet paper, and it's the most random thing. And I was like, surely, God, this is not going to work. Because I've been out there for like 10 minutes trying to get this thing started. And I've been working and working and working. And all it took was the most insignificant little piece of toilet paper to get this big fire going. And I was thinking, man, you know, that really applies to our services. If we just take the smallest little thing that we don't think that it could ever bless, and we know that we're just doing it out of response to the Holy Ghost, that it's going to catch fire. It's really going to ignite our church, and we can really, really draw on the Spirit. And I was just thinking about that, you know, how just the littlest Facebook comment or the littlest call from somebody in the church could ignite my fire and my passion for serving the Lord. And if that does that for me as a Christian, for somebody that serves the Lord, that proclaims Christ and that is their head, think about how little and insignificant it could be that we just walk up to somebody's door and say, hey, God laid it on our hearts to come out and visit and share the gospel with people. Would you like to hear about it? Just that little insignificant thing that you say to somebody could ignite that fire that they've been waiting for. Just like it was with my leaves. So I just want to get up and hopefully be an encouragement. I hope somewhere in my ramblingness that it made sense to what I'm getting, my heart's trying to portray. But I just really want to be led in the Lord, and I really am excited for 2010 to see where we're going. I know me personally, I've come a long way in 2009. Just everything's changing, my job, my moving situation, where I live, family life. I'm married. I've got two little dog kids. I claim them as my children, you know, and it just seems like my family's getting bigger. The youth is getting older. They're getting more wise. All of y'all are getting more wise. I mean, it just seems like the Lord's just revealing new things to us. So I'm excited, and I wish that y'all keep us in your prayers, and we'll be praying for y'all too.
Sitting here don't do nothing. Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I just got home at 3:45, so I went to Wichita, and I'm so glad to be back in Arkansas. I never knew how much I hated snow. I think we're going to head back this morning with no snow in the forecast, 2 inches of snow like that. I love Arkansas. Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight, and what everybody's been talking about lately, and I just flipping through my Bible, and I just flipped to Matthew 5:13, the salt of the earth. And then I was also going through my Bible, and something I wrote down, 10:25:09, and something I almost forgot about. I probably would have forgot about it if I didn't close my Bible. And I think it was our last youth night service. I was sitting right there where Brother Durham sitting, and I just kind of closed my eyes, hoping God gave me something. I got this flash. I mean, y'all ever seen that picture over there? And y'all have been here a while, that picture of that plane overlooking the church and everything. I had that picture in my mind, except there's a lighthouse right in the middle of our church. Overlook all of Little Rock. And that was October 25th, 2009. And why it took me this long to tell everybody about it, I don't know. I really don't know. I should have told everybody about it because that's what I'm supposed to do when God gives me something. Just tell it, tells people about it. And just about salt of the earth, it's basically what I'm dealing with. You know, I just happened to put this piece of paper right there under the salt of the earth, which is basically talking about. 5:14 says, Matthew 5:14 says, "Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid." That's basically what a lighthouse is. I mean, it's something for the ships to look at to bring them on in. And we should be doing more. I mean, I'm just not saying that I'm the best at it either, because I know that I've got a lot of room for improvement for helping people get in here. I mean, it's 2010. We need to get people trying to get in here and save them. There's a whole bunch of people behind the church that can be talked to. And I'm criticizing myself, too, because I need to do that. And there's something else I wrote down right under for some reason. My Uncle Larry sings a song called Oasis of Love. Let's help him find this oasis of love. I mean, because this is an oasis of love. Pastures are green year-round. There ain't, wherever you think you've been across hot, burning desert, and you just come across this oasis, it's not a mirage, it's not nothing, it's an oasis of love. There's water and green pastures. And I really had nothing to say tonight, and I'm really sorry for rambling on, but it just kind of got too quiet for me, so I wanted to say something.
I feel like I kind of fit the bill in this sense. I listened to Brother Andrew and stuff, and thinking about what he said, and I thought, my husband and I both just love the youth of this church and have a deep care for the young people. And I thought, partially because we were young people when we came in, I can tell you what it feels like to be on the other side. I was 18, searching for something, and having never gone to church, but maybe just a time or two in my whole life growing up, didn't know anything about God. But I remember when the Lord began to deal with me, just being 18, and I was praying for about 2 weeks, "Oh God, show me where to go to church." And I can assure you, if there had been any one of you young people had been my age and had come to me and approached me, I'd have been more than willing to talk to you about God. I was hungry. And I can assure you that I'm not the only person in this world that fits that bill. I can assure you that there's other teenagers, even though this is 31 years later, I can assure you there are teenagers out there that are wanting someone to talk to them about God, because I was there. And I thought, the woman that talked to me about God, I was praying this way, and long story short, I've shared my testimony many times, but a woman and her husband that my husband had been at the time had been working with on a job. They were broke down along the side of the road. And again, keep in mind, every night when I'd go to bed, I was praying, you know, "Lord, show me where to go to church." And I'd wake up praying that prayer. And so when we'd seen this couple broke down along the side of the road, my husband went back to see what was wrong with them. And I sat there in my in the vehicle, and this lady got out of her car, and she come up to me. Well, at the time, she had been going to Brother Dave's assembly for about 6 weeks. And so, long story short, when she come up to me, just immediately, just as clear as anything, I heard something, not an audible voice, but it was as clear as anything, said, "She'll show you where to go to church." And so we started talking, and they got their car going. And anyway, long story short, my husband and that man had a pest control job to do that afternoon. She asked me if I wanted to go on a picnic and get to know each other better. Well, I said yes. And anyway, we went on this picnic, but I thought Brother Smith has been talking passionately about standards. Well, this woman, let me tell you, she was wearing just this little bitty tiny pair of shorts and this little bitty halter top. And keep in mind, I knew nothing about God, very little, just a few things I'd heard my aunt saying just in the few years past. I'd heard her mention the Holy Ghost and talk about the Holy Ghost, but I had no clue what that meant. But somehow I had put two to two two and two together that I knew that that Holy Ghost, whatever it was what made that woman change. And my aunt, I mean, well, anyway, so we went on this picnic, and this woman started talking to me about God, and I couldn't understand what she was saying. So you may think that you have to have some deep knowledge of the Word of God, but let me tell you something. It's the love that you're going to show them, and it's the passion that you're going to have in your heart that's going to sell to a person. I know, I've had firsthand experience in it, but anyway, she started talking, and finally I stopped her, and I told her, I said, I don't understand a thing that you're saying, but I tell you something, you know, I want to go to church. And she said, well, will you go to church with me? And I said, yes, I'll go to church with you. Well, that was on a Monday. Come Thursday night, I went to church with her. And again, that first night service, there was a man that was there that was just talking about anything. I didn't get anything. But when church was over, those sisters, one by one, come up and begin to hug me. And you know what? That caused me to want to go back. And I kept coming back. And this is 31 years later, and I'm still coming back. So it didn't happen. That wasn't just an exclusive event. That can happen today for each, not just us older people, the young people like in your schools or anything. It can be done. And I thought Brother Smith's been talking about standards, and there's a very fine line of giving your testimony in there and yet coming across self-righteous. But I want to encourage the young people. I know that, like Brother Smith said, it's easy for the young people to, you know, want to fall into the easy category and wear what's, you know, what's comfortable or what's, you know, fashionable, peer pressure, etc. But I'll tell you my testimony. Here I was, 18 years old, and started coming, and nobody come up to me and told me what to wear. I never heard Brother Dave's preach on it. I didn't hear anything. But I remember one day, I only had one dress. And the only reason I owned this dress was because I had to have a senior picture made, and they required us to wear a dress. And it's just why I was raised. And so, anyway, I kept wearing this dress, and a sister came up after I'd come just a few weeks straight, Sister Susie Palmer, come up to me, and she said, I just wondered if you'd like to have this dress that I have. It doesn't fit me right. And she was just being real kind. She handed me that dress, and I mean, it was like a light came on. And it had long sleeves, and I remember just kind of looking around and thinking, they're all wearing dresses all the time, and, you know, and they got these long sleeves and stuff, and it was just like this light came on. And so I went home that night, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, if you want me to wear these dresses, then will you provide, because I don't have it. I don't have the money. And this is the gospel truth. The very next weekend, a sister whom I barely even knew her name that was going to that church, she brought in, it was either two or three sacks, just stuff of dresses. There were 27 that fit me to a T. This woman barely knew my name. That was good enough for me. And so then I went a few more months down the road, and I wore earrings at the time. Let me give you my own testimony on that. I always thought earrings was the neatest thing ever. And I would beg my mother to get earrings, to get my ears pierced, and she would say, no, when you turn 16, whatever was magical about 16, I have no idea. But anyway, of course, come 16, and I get my ears pierced, and I was happy. So here's just 2 years later, and so you can imagine I only had a small little collection of these earrings. So I proudly put in my little earrings and could come to church. And I, a couple months after I had made the sacrifice, and by the way, after I got those dresses, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, those pants are yours. Those shorts are yours. I won't wear them unless the occasion arises where it's necessary. But Lord, that's what I'll do. And so I quit wearing them. Well, I remember my family being very stunned, you know, just thinking, they just could not believe I would do this. But anyway, I didn't go into any great details with them. I just kept trying to live it in front of them. And so here's these earrings. I'm wearing these earrings. Well, this elderly sister had come up to me. This was just a couple months later. And she didn't mean nothing by it. Honestly, she didn't. But she come up to me and she said, you know, She goes, I never noticed you wore earrings before. And I'm not kidding you, I loved earrings. The bigger the hoop, the better. I just thought they were the greatest thing on earth. And when she said that, that just shocked me. And I just started looking around, same thing. There wasn't anyone with earrings on. And I thought to myself, well, what I'll do is I'll just call my sister-in-law and I'll give her all my earrings except the little ones, because no one will ever notice these little earrings. And so that's what I did. Do you know that night, this is how gracious and kind God is. That night I opened up my Bible, just randomly opened it to read it. And it was on Ananias and Sapphira. Woo! I knew when I read that story, that wasn't a coincidence. I knew what I was keeping back. And so I gave up my earrings. And you know how hard that was for me. But I'm telling you all that to say this. That testimony is still good today. Not that I'm anything. I don't mean that. But I'm telling you what I've thought many times in my life over the 31 years I've watched people come in and leave. And I know that this way is a sacrificing way. And if you'll just make these sacrifices in your life, little things, it may just, in my case, it was the wearing of the earrings or the dresses or whatever the case is in your life. I can assure you, as young people, if you'll make these sacrifices, that you'll never regret it, that you'll grow up and you'll be a strong church for tomorrow. And so that's, you know, really all I wanted to tell you. I just hope I don't come across that I think I'm so self-righteous. I'm not. But I know what God has done for me in my life. And I've often thought so many times, new people that come in or young people, if I could just wrap all my little testimonies up or all the testimonies I've heard over the years and just hand them to you, I think how blessed you'd be. And that's how I feel tonight, how richly blessed I am. And I just appreciate God, and I appreciate you young people. I'm sorry to take up your time, but I just want to share with you because somebody shared things with me.
I just had to stand tonight and give God some praise. God's helped me so much in the past year coming back to Little Rock and everything, just growing so much in the Lord, and I'm eternally grateful for all that God's done. And I've been saying, you know, I pray to myself, I say, God, if this is all you'll ever give me, I thank you for that. If I have to be the one that sits on the back pew and doesn't really understand a thing and just causes problems, at least I'm here, you know. And I'm so thankful to be in the body of Christ. It's something that none of my friends at school or anybody out in the world could ever understand. It's something so great. And I was thinking this week, my Aunt Lou had a tape from songs back in the 80s that our church group made, and there's a song on there called Out, and it's been stuck in my head for the past week, and I've just been playing it over and over and over, and I felt like God kept telling me that he's called us out. He's called the youth, that we're not just here because our parents are here, or that we were just born here and we just have to come here till we're 18 and then we're gone. It's not about that. God has placed each one of us here for a reason. He's brought each one of you back to this church. He's brought us up here for a reason, and there's no other way. God could have put you with any family he wanted, but he chose to put you with people who were established in the body of Christ, and that is so, it's just amazing. Because I think we were singing that song this morning, if I can find it, where Sister Cindy was singing. He's the master of every situation, I think it was. Or, no, it's My Desire. They were singing that, and it says, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today. You know, I grew up in the body, but a lot of my family's not in the body, and I think about them, and I think about how miserable they are in the world, and they won't admit it, but I think about it, and, you know, sometimes I feel guilty, and my grandparents are like, well, you have to go on, you can't, you know, you just pray about them, and you give it to the Lord, but, you know, sometimes I feel guilty, because I think, God, why did you choose me? Why did you choose me to stay? Why didn't you choose Sean? You know, why didn't you choose any of the others? You know, and God's got his hand on them. I know he does. But I'm just, I can't stop. I wrote notes as Brother Smith was preaching that just came to me. But I can't stop praising him for what he's done. And about how willing I want to be to the Lord. That when the Lord tells me to do something in church, you know, I want to do it. I'm a loud person outside of church, and then I come into church and I get all this quiet, you know, I'd like to stay in my seat back over there and, you know, not be noticed. But when the Lord's telling me to do something, to get up and be willing, you know, and I have to admit, this past couple weeks, school's gotten really hard and, you know, tests and everything, and I got kind of lazy with, you know, what I knew I should have been doing and focusing on and, you know, keeping the Lord my priority. And then this past week when I was out of school, I thought, oh my gosh, I've got all this time. And why am I not just sitting down to read my Bible? Or why am I not just taking more time out to pray? And, you know, Brother Smith started preaching on having a desire, you know, to follow God and to seek after God. And that's all that's been my prayer this past week is, to, Lord, give me that desire. Give me that want back to get back to where I was in you. Help me find where you're at. So it's just, I've just had this burning in my mind to get closer to God. And then all this scribble about, I know what I was going to say. They were talking about how the world will not satisfy. And then Sister Oates was talking about the world and how it's, the world is nothing. They have nothing. I go to a public school every day and those kids have nothing at all. They are miserable. They run around cussing, talking about stuff that's horrible, that makes their lives worse. And then they don't understand why I don't talk bad about my parents. I don't talk bad about, you know, oh, well, my parents are making me go to church, but I can't wait to get out and I can't wait to be 18. No, I love coming to church. I love serving God. They have no clue of what's awaiting. They have no clue. God has opened the door for us youth, for our youth leaders to help us get there. He's opened the door for us to get closer to him. And if that's just been my prayer all week, is to get closer to God. And it's just, I can't express it enough how much, don't even try to go towards the world. They can't satisfy anything at all. And it's hard going on a daily basis to see, you know, how dead it is. And sometimes it brings me down. And they were talking about like coming to church after work. And when I get here on Wednesday nights after school, I'm kind of, you know, I come home in a bad mood or something, because they bring you down. The world will bring you down. But when I get in here, you know, even the deadest service brings me up, because it's so much better than anything the world will have. And I can't praise God enough for what he's doing. I can't thank him enough, you know. I'm so thankful to be in the body of Christ and to be here tonight. And I'm thankful for our youth and youth leaders and our pastor. And I just want to go on with y'all.
I just want to say I'm thankful to be here tonight. And I was reading the verse a while ago that I was thinking about something to say when I was going to get up. It said, the people that aren't sick don't need a physician. And I was talking to Brother Andrew today about how vast the ministry will be as we do get out and do God's work and witness to people. And how the sickest people are the ones that will probably respond the most easiest, because when you offer them something that's going to make them well, even if it's just a little bit of a taste of the antibiotic that they need, or if that's what you want to call it and compare it to, then their soul will leap for joy when they find out that there's help for them. Because I believe that a lot of people don't realize that there is help out of the situations that they're in. Because being out in the world, sometimes you get so caught up in what you're doing that, you know, even though you know about this, you can still forget that, in other words, your carnal mind tells you that there is no help at a certain point, and you've got to know that that's a lie, you know, in order to come back. But if you've never been offered that and you never had that chance to know Jesus and to know the life that lives within you and for God to deal with you, then how would you know that unless somebody, you know, unless he sent somebody to offer that to you, to witness to you, to get the message out? So I'm really excited about that. And there's a lot of groups out there witnessing to people and developing their ministry, and I'm excited that that's the road that we're on. I was talking to a Jehovah's Witness at the antique store yesterday, and it was funny. I walked around the store like 3 times, and I kept being attracted to this young man, and I kept thinking, what the heck is going on? Because every time I walked by him, I had a feeling to talk to him, and like the 3rd time, finally, I decided I better start a conversation with him. Start off, I just asked him his name. I said, do you live around here? He said, you're not from here, are you? So that's a good way to get somebody to tell you something, just to start a conversation. And he said, actually, we live right down the road. They just kind of looked out of place, though. And the reason why that felt so out of place is because they had a good relationship with God as far as they could, you know, and probably most everybody else in there didn't. So when we walked past each other, it was kind of like a mirror effect in the fact that they knew God and I knew God, although to different degrees, I'm sure. But we got to talking, though, and he said, yeah. He said, my wife and I just got done going out and witnessing to people. And I was thinking, I just got done working today. You know? And just really made me think, you know, it's kind of like God was saying, well, what'd you do with your day today? Did you, you know, go out and witness to some people yourself? That's kind of how I felt. And it really got me to thinking that I really need to get on the ball and do what I know that God is calling me to do. And I have been to a degree, but sometimes I feel like we can make it convenient. Even though, yes, we're still working for God, we can make it convenient for ourselves in the way that we do it and not give it the fullest that we could. So I'm really thankful to be here, though, and I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters here, and thankful for the direction we're moving in, and I really feel like it is time, and that people are to a point where they would be willing to accept what Christ has to offer them. Because it seems to me like every week that I hire somebody, it's hard to believe the situations that people's lives are in. It really is. I mean, the last month, the people that we've hired, girls coming in telling me that their husband just decided all of a sudden out of the blue that they're leaving them. And just different situations, and it's like crazy. It's how terrible things are. And it's like, God, you know, I guess you're sending these people here for a reason, to help them get through something tough. This guy that worked for me for about 2 months, and his brother, right after he started, his brother got ran over by somebody, a drunk driver. And then the very next day after that, his dog died. And I was thinking back, though. I really been thinking, Lord, you know, I know that this business is more than just about making money and selling vacuum cleaners or air cleaners or, you know, getting the dust out of people's air and all that. And I was thinking, you know, why did you send him my way? And then I remembered back to when my mom and my brother died, and how Brother Smith knows what I'm talking about. Some other people here don't, but I had a dream about a job, and I left the job that I was working, and I went and worked at that job for about a year, and I never really fit in there. I didn't feel like I accomplished a lot. I sold a few jobs for them, But the whole purpose is, I learned out of all that, God moved me from selling Hylas to a different type of job, because he knew what my mom and my brother were going to do. And he was preparing me stability-wise and getting me deeper in church and getting me deeper in him, so that when that happened, I wouldn't fall. And it wasn't very long after all that stuff happened, and I kind of faltered a little bit there for a month or two, but I came back to my senses pretty quick, or God got me back to my senses pretty quick, and I realized that he had gotten me through that whole thing, and I just need to get back to him as quick as I could. And I did. But it wasn't long after that, it was probably 6 months after all that happened, that I left that job. And I felt like, still to this day, that the only reason that God opened that job up for me was to get me through that time where my mom and my brother died. And to give me a stable, something really stable at that time, because he knew that it was going to shake me. And I was thinking back about that. I thought, you know, the reason why God, you know, gave me an answer. He said, the reason why I sent Derek is because you already been through that, and you knew what it would take to help him, to talk him through that, to help him to get through that, because he does believe in God, and he believes in the Holy Ghost, and he goes to a Pentecostal church. And if that was the only reason that he sent him, I understand that. You know, and Derek made a few sales, and then for like the next month, he didn't sell anything. He tried as hard as he could, and I tried to help him as much as I could. And it just wouldn't work after that. So that's when I started coming to the conclusion. I thought, well, there's got to be more to this than just him working here to sell, you know. And it was after he was gone. The other day, he got him a different job. I was sitting there thinking about that, you know. And it's like God gave me that answer. He said, did you forget so soon of what I've done for you that I can't use you to do that for other people? You know, so I'm thankful that he allows us to do his work and to help him in the ways that we can for other people. And I know that part of that my business is a ministry to other people, and that I do have to watch how I live. And at the same time, though, I've realized lately I don't want to be fake. You know, I don't want to be acting like I'm living something out there. In other words, I've got to be at the level that God has me on. And I've got to grow as he grows me and not be too two-faced. You know, one thing here and another thing out there. I've got to be what I am all the way around. And when he gets me to the next level, that's when I'll be there, and not a second any sooner than that. So I'm really thankful that he is opening my eyes to the different things that he has. And we've been talking about ministering and witnessing to people. And like Sister Rhonda was saying, I've really been thinking about, since Brother Smith was talking about putting on the mind of Christ, you know, what that means. And if you look at the way that Christ lived in his life, and the way that he did, you know, have sinners following him, and he witnessed to all the different people that most people wouldn't witness to, there's a picture in that of what that mind of Christ is, and how 1 Corinthians 13 lines up with that, how the love of God was in the midst of the mind of Christ, and how that included putting on charity and having long-suffering for people. And how that whole chapter lays out in 1 Corinthians 13. And I've really been working on letting God apply that to me, so that I can put on the mind of Christ. Because if I'm really going to help people like I desire to, then I know that I'm going to have the love of Christ. Because you see things in people's lives that if you don't have Christ's love, then it becomes a natural thing and not a spiritual thing. As I'm sure people have seen things in my life where if they focused on me in the flesh, they probably would have never helped. You know, because it gets our eyes off of what the main goal is, which is to do God's work. So I'm learning that, you know, we can't have our eyes on the fleshly things. We have to have our eyes on the spiritual things, which means that we, you know, I need to put on the mind of Christ and to walk in the Spirit, so that I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I've been studying how those things correlate ever since Brother Smith was talking about how you can have the Holy Ghost, but yet that doesn't necessarily mean you have the mind of Christ on. So I think there's really a key in that as to how we can witness to people and how we have to let God open our eyes. And on the same note, I mean, it kind of all ties together of how no matter what level we're on in God, if we will just realize that all in all we're a vessel. And if you look at a vessel could be a ship or a piece of pottery or whatever it is. But what that means is that something, that vessel holds something. And I'm just a vessel. that the Holy Ghost can live in so that God can use me for his work. And I'm beginning to realize that more and more and more. And the more you focus on that and you understand that God lives in you and that it's not by your own power, but that he is the very source of life. He's the source of everything that we're doing. And even as Brother Smith was talking earlier about how even the things that we don't even realize that he's in. And that is the truth. If you look at it, I mean, we all, I've noticed in myself, I use myself an example that sometimes I think that I'm doing it and I'm really not. You know, whether it's singing a song and your voice is in tune with what's going on, God is doing all that. And when he lives in you, he lines those things up so that they will produce good works for his glory, so that men may see those good works and glorify him. So I'm thankful that he's teaching me these things, because I do want to be that vessel that's led and guided by him. You know, if you think of a big ship, a big old vessel has a captain. And it's the same way with us. We're just a vessel for him to use. And I'm willing and I'm ready. And I'm thankful that God has gotten me to a place. I do feel like, you know, the trials and tests that I've went through in life, and even when I wasn't living for God, I still learned something from that I can help others in. And I'm thankful that he allowed me to go through all those things that I went through and get the lessons out of them and still be back here today. So I'm just thankful to be here, and I appreciate all y'all.
Expressing my appreciation to God and what he's done for me and now my family this past year. I've recently been through a lot. I was in my car accident, and I haven't gotten up since then to thank God for watching over me. Sorry, I'm getting emotional, but for watching over me during that time. Even though the police are saying it's my fault, I really feel like it was the other person's fault, but I'll take it. But it could have been a lot worse than it was. And when Cindy and Mike got there, she was telling me it was really scary to see you on that stretcher or whatever it's called. And I kept thinking, you know, I guess I've never been in an accident before, but I kept wondering, is something really more wrong? Something more wrong with me than what it really is? Because I'm going in an ambulance and going to the hospital, and it was just nerve-wracking and scary all at the same time. But I want to thank God for keeping his hand on me. And like Brandon was saying earlier, he has, I guess, a zeal right now for the Lord and learning more about him. And just recently, in Dallas, our youth leaders, David and Krista, started reading Brother Souter's books and got really into learning more about him. And just recently, I started wanting to read my Bible more, and that was going to be, you know, my thing for 2010, get all the way through it. But I was talking to Andrew, and I was like, I really, when I start opening it and I read from Genesis to Revelations, I can read it all day long, but not understand one word that it's saying. It's just not I can't get into the wording and all that. So I was talking to my grandmother about it in Houston, and she was like, well, I have all Brother Souter's books, and we have this program on the computer that you can borrow, and every time that he quotes a scripture and talks about it, why don't you go in the Bible and read the chapter before it and read the chapter after it and just start marking down what you've read, and maybe by the end of the year you'll be done reading your Bible and you'll understand it more. So I kind of started the other night, and like one of his sermons for January 1st was like 39 pages long, and I got to like page 20 and I was like, man, this is a lot of work, but it was very interesting to me just to see what he talked about way back in the 40s. And at the very end, he has a part where someone will ask a question and it'll answer it, and the questions are still go along with today's day-to-day experiences and stuff. And that's my thing for 2010, is I want to learn more about God and his people and learn where my roots actually came from. And I appreciate having ministers and our pastors tell us about Brother Souders, but I want to learn for myself and wrap myself around that so I become more knowledgeable about it and I can talk to people about it. And one short little thing, I was on MakeTheBride.com reading testimonies and stuff, and this girl on there from Pearl, Mississippi, her name is Lori Long, she was telling her testimony and how back in early 2009, she was going to an Assembly of God church, I believe, and that she was attending a college, and one of her friends there was a man that went, that goes to the Pearl, Mississippi church, and that she was talking to him, and they had some downtime, so they were talking about, you know, their church and their church life, and she kept telling herself in the back of mind, there's something different about this guy. There's just something different, the way he treats people and the way he holds himself. And so she just asked so many, every question that she could think of. And so finally she was like, well, I'm just going to ask myself, can I come with you to church? And when I was reading that, I was thinking, how many people do I talk to that want me to ask them, but I don't even ask them? I don't even put that invite out there or just give them the church card. I mean, I could, that's another thing too. I want to carry more church cards so I can hand them out. But, she was saying how the first service he texted her before him was like, just letting you know, our church is a little different. We believe in speaking in tongues and a worship-led service. And she's like, right there, that's what it was, worship-led service. I mean, not a worship-led, spirit-led service. And she said that she'd been in a church like that before, and she loved how free it was, and that she went a couple of times, and then God just kept opening up doors for her to come back. And just reading her testimony, just that one person that she knew brought her into this, and now she's saying that her life is so happy, and she's so blessed to be in that church now, and how everyone's so welcoming to her and loves her, and they invite her over for dinner all the time. And in between her starting to come to church and just visiting, she would get phone calls all the time from people way up in age. She got a phone call from like a four-year-old or something, just asking her, you know, are you coming to church again? Or anyway, and my thoughts are just, how many people do I encounter every day that they are seeking something, and I don't put that out there? Hey, do you want to come to church with me and my husband? Do you want us to come pick you up, you and your family? So that's my longing, I guess, for this year, is to learn more about my roots, but yet spread it around. How many people do we have in Little Rock that are searching for something? And I was telling the youth the other day, let your light shine. Y'all have something. We have something. All of us do. God's given that to us, and he chose y'all to be in this and to spread your light to everyone around you. And I'm ashamed of myself that I haven't done that. What is one person in this world that I can say I brought them in? Not one person. And I, for this year, I want to at least say, that person right there, I helped them get in here. Not to be proud of myself, but just know that I helped someone else out to find God and to find this people.
Nervous right now, but I'm really thankful to be here tonight, and just really thankful to be in Little Rock now, and that's all I have to say.
appreciate a ministry and a church that allows for the youth to participate, to come in and to really take a part and understand that this is not, on this old people's church. This is not just any other place, but it's all of our church here. No matter from the youngest to the oldest, from 3 years old if they want to testify to someone maybe on their deathbed, the mic is open. When Brandon earlier was mentioning about even dead services are better than what they have often in the world, I was thinking about that. And having youth, having a youthful spirit is like fire. And if you want to make it less of a dead service, if you want to term it that way, then it just takes a little bit of fire. Because what happens with that fire is, Brother Andrew was talking about, all he needed was that little toilet paper. That's all he needed, just a little toilet paper. Well, I'm not comparing any of y'all to toilet paper, but I'm just saying, it just takes someone stepping out. Someone taking that extra step out there and saying, you know what? It's not gonna, I can't say tonight, if I felt that it was a dead service or anything like that, how can I say a word like that if I didn't at least try to put my hand to the work? If I didn't try to lift up the spirit a little bit more or bring that spirit in, I can't say a word about that. And that's what's so wonderful about the body of Christ. Everyone here is a participator. We don't have to have, this is not a spectator church. There's not a procession going on. It's not planned out what's going to happen. We can't look at a program. But thank God it is spirit-led, Sister Brittany. It's by God. God says, this is what needs to happen, because you don't know what you might get up and someone that may be a lot older might need to hear what you have to say. You may have went through something. If anything else, maybe it's a reminder. Maybe it helps me to remember whenever I was out of church that I once forsook this way, that I thank God through His grace was given an opportunity to walk through those doors once again and feel the love and feel the peace and feel the assurance that God does love me and He has a people that are today looking for Him. And so I wanted to get up tonight and say, I appreciate this service. I appreciate any time to be able to get in here and to be with God's people. It's a wonderful thing. You know, I was thinking, Brother Smith was talking today, and also he had mentioned, he was talking about effectiveness, finding your part, being willing in that. And I've thought a lot of times, like, Lord, you know, what do I need to do? What can I do that can help my brothers and sisters? How can I do anything? You know, I don't have the entire Bible memorized. I'm not some great historian. I have a good knowledge of it, but what can I do? How can I be of a benefit? And it struck me before, you know, when Sister Brittany was talking about reading through the Bible, there are definitely some areas in there that when you're reading through, I don't know, I could probably say maybe at least 90% in here are just like me and going, wow, can't wait to get to Psalms. Come on, we're almost there. Come on, get past Deuteronomy. All right, Numbers, yay. You know, and so you're finally getting through it. But in there are some really, really great nuggets. There's a reference to, I think it's in Chronicles. I don't know if I can find the reference right now, but it talks about my favorite hero when I was a kid, He-Man. He-Man is in the Bible. And He-Man was basically appointed to a music or to praise. Now that's what his calling was in the ministry. And I've thought about that many times. You know, as a younger child, I was an introvert. I was very shy and quiet. As I got older, I got a little more boisterous, but when I was